Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports, and joining us now is Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, are you ready for my question of the week?
Yes, Carolyn, I've been preparing. I've been doing some push-ups. I've been doing some chin-ups. I ran a marathon. I'm ready to go.
Good. I'd love to hear it. What is taking Barry Trotz so freaking long to make up his mind about the coach?
Well, I think that one of the things that I kind of had heard recently was that there was probably going to be an indication coming soon one way or the other, because one of the things I kind of heard just in my coaching gossip circles was that the Predators and the coaches there, like, they realize it's time to let everybody, or getting close to the time to let everyone know, so that if anyone's not coming back, you can go and look for other work. So I think we are getting closer to a decision one way or another. So I heard that had been brought up, that, you know, one way or the other, you know, everybody recognizes people have to kind of be given the opportunity to move on if that's the decision.
And in those coaching gossip circles, which sounds like a blast, I might add.
Yeah.
Any vibe on exactly what that decision might be?
No, people, you know, one thing about Carolyn is people are really careful, because, like, for example, like, especially when they're talking to me, because, like, you know, one of the things I do is I say, you know, I'm going on, I have my weekly hit on your station, and they know if they tip me, if they say, well, I think this, and it turns out not to be true, and I go on your radio show, and it basically starts like a fire, like a 5-alarm blaze. So they're really careful. But the one thing that they did share with me was that there's definitely a feeling that we're getting to the point that everybody deserves to know, good or bad, what it's going to be.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman. You can catch his podcast, 32 Thoughts, there, Sportsnet. Now, Elliot, listening to your podcast, obviously the story that is grabbing everybody's attention in the hockey world is the Arizona Coyotes.
And yes.
Their, you know, this situation they're in with their arena. How does, because ultimately they're going to have to make a decision. One, do you think they will stay in Arizona? And if not, what would be an ideal spot for them? We talked yesterday. I love Salt Lake City as a destination spot. But what do you think?
Well, first of all, Derek, I think it's going to be really hard for them to stay. I know there was a report today that they reached out to a community called Mesa to ask about some land there. And, you know, I think that I don't know that there's the will to go through this again. I think a lot of us were hoping that there would be certainty after the other day, one way or the other. And while it's really tough for the Coyotes hardcore fans, and I feel for them, and I think they will hope for any other solution, I think it's really hard, Derek, to see how another long-term solution plus potentially a vote is going to fly here. I think if they could have moved somewhere right now, they may have. But, like, for example, when Atlanta left to Winnipeg in 2011, they knew that in Winnipeg they had an arena that was ready to go. They knew they had guaranteed sellouts ready to go. But the only place they could do that right now is Quebec City, and I don't think the league, as much as I love Quebec, the idea of Quebec City as a Canadian, I don't think the league really wants to go from Arizona to Quebec City. So there is no perfect situation right now. So I think what you're going to see them do, Derek, is take the next little while to figure that out. And the reason I think Salt Lake City is very high on the list, and I'm with you, I find it very intriguing. I've learned a lot about Salt Lake City as a market. It's really growing. It's one of the fastest growing markets in the state. There's a lot of tech money there. But also Ryan Smith, who owns the Jazz, about a month or two ago, there was an NBA board meeting in New York City, and after the meeting, he went to dinner with the NHL commissioner, Gary Bettman. And I think he wants an NHL team. I think the NHL likes Ryan Smith. And I think somewhere down the road, I think Salt Lake City could very well get a team. The problem right now, Derek, is that the rink isn't very hockey friendly. Mm-hmm. Now, it is believed Salt Lake City is going to get the Winter Olympics in 2034, if not 2030. And with that is hope for a new NHL arena. So while I think they could potentially go to Salt Lake City now, it's not a perfect place in terms of the arena. The other places I would mention, Houston, although I've heard in the past that the owner hasn't been as enthusiastic about hockey as they would hope in their first meeting, but still it's a big market and you have to consider it. Houston, I think, is on the radar. Kansas City, we saw Pat Mahomes vote yesterday and nobody's going to argue with him. I think they've started to have some convert. The owner of the Sacramento Kings went to look at Ottawa, which has led us to kind of wonder, could that be a possibility down the road? And I think you'll hear other places like Oklahoma City. So I think they have a few options, Derek, but none of them are like turnkey. They all have their challenges. So I think that's what this is going to be about, is figuring it out.
Now, how does the association fit in this? Because obviously, in listening to your podcast, you know, you got free agency that's coming up, and yep. agents and stuff are going to want to know, hey, what's happening with the Arizona Coyotes?
Yeah. Well, I think they're very restless. There's no question about that. What can they do? I'm not sure that the Players Association can do a lot except basically say that we think this is not acceptable. I know in the past there's been some talk about, can you file any kind of grievance, but I'm not sure they think they can win it. The one thing I will say this is that Clayton Keller, who is their best player, he had his father had some interesting tweets the other day. I think they're going to meet with some of their top players. And if a player like Clayton Keller is unhappy, that's a problem for them. You know, they have another kid named Logan Cooley. He was the number 3 pick in the draft last year. And he is a heck of a player. Like, he plays for the University of Minnesota. They went to the NCAA championship team this year. He was waiting to see the results of the vote, I believe, until he decided to join the team next year. And now I think it might be hard. Like, he hasn't said one way or another, but all the intel is this might not be good for the Coyotes. And that's the kind of stuff you have to worry about. Like, I think when you're the hockey operations there, all you can do is keep going about your business as best you can. They've got good young players, and they've got a lot of draft picks, but this might make it very hard for them to keep some of their good players as well.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman. Go check his podcast out, 32 Thoughts. Now, we haven't spoken to you since the last NHL game, which was the Kraken and Dallas.
Yep.
Those two goalies, both of them played lights out, Oettinger and Grubauer. They both played lights out, and it's just a shame that one of them had to lose. Do you think that game was just a sort of a war of attrition, because both of those guys were playing lights out, but ultimately, you know, Dallas ended up scoring, I think, in the second and then again in the third period?
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think is that, you know, normally the longer a game like that goes, with 0-0, as long as it did, you think it favors the underdog, that they're going to be the better team, and or that the pressure goes on the favorite, and maybe they fold, and that favored Seattle. But I thought that as that game went on, Dallas just got better and better. And it was really, you know, the thing that was unfortunate about it was the first goal, while it was a beautiful shot, it was kind of a fluky play. Mm-hmm. And it's always tough to lose on a fluky play like that. I thought Dallas deserved to win Game 7. I thought they were the better team. But those goalies were incredible, and that series was incredible. Like, the NHL has the most warped expansion situation. Expansion teams are not supposed to be as successful, but Vegas goes to the Stanley Cup final in the first year. They've now been to the conference final 4 times in 6 years, and Seattle went to game 2nd of the second round in the seventh year, game 7 of the second round in their second year. Like, this isn't supposed to happen, but like the one thing that they're, and a lot of fans of other teams, Derek, don't like it. But I think if you're going to, the NHL's position is, if you're going to pay $500 million or $650 million for an expansion team, as these two teams did, you think you deserve, they think they deserve a more, more competitive team. And I'll tell you this, I remember, so they talked to me about the NFL. Like, you'll remember Jacksonville and Carolina, like, they made the conference final in their third or fourth years, right?
Yeah.
And some of the NHL guys told me they thought that was the right way to go. Like, give those teams a chance. Don't just bury them.
All right, Elliot, I got to ask you one thing on the way out. So the draft is coming up on 40 days here, right here in Nashville. And so the Preds have had a rich history of having good players drafted late after the first round into the second. Obviously, Parsonen was picked in the seventh round. So do you think there's anybody that stands out to you early on before the draft where maybe this kid's not going to go in the first or second round, but maybe if he goes to the right team later on, he'll have some success? Or do maybe a few other names come to mind for you?
Well, I'll tell you this. We have some guys, and I'll give you their names if you want to get them on, who are more draft followers than I am. Because I just, with all the stuff in the NHL, I don't get to watch the prospects as much. But I will tell you one story that is going to be very interesting. There is a kid from Russia named Matvei Mishkov. He is a really talented pick. And he's a really talented kid. And, you know, Bedard's going number one this year, but based on pure talent alone, he could potentially go two, but he's not going to. And, you know, he's signed to play in Russia for three more years, and he's an incredible talent. And one of the more interesting storylines about this draft is who's going to take him. Now, I think he's probably gone by the time you guys pick. I think you guys are picking 15. I think he's probably gone by the time you guys pick, but I think he's going to go lower than he would have because people aren't sure when they're going to be able to get him. And I think that's going to be one of the most fascinating storylines of that first night of the draft, is where this guy goes. And if he starts dropping towards where you are, I don't know if that will happen, and it probably won't, but if it happens, that's going to be a fascinating story for the Predators on draft night.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Last one for you, Elliot. If not John Hines, if Barry Trotz decides to move on from John Hines, then who? Who do you think is the best head coaching candidate on the market?
Oh, that's a great question. I think the question becomes, are you going to win now, or are you going to develop? So you guys have talked a lot about developing, and I think there's some coaches out there who are younger that are going to get some attention. Like, one guy I'll mention to you is, he's coaching in Toronto right now, is a guy by the name of Spencer Carberry. And he was the head coach of the American Hockey League team at Hershey until a couple of years ago. Washington, you know, passed over him. They weren't sure about him at the time, and they went to Laviolette. And he left their organization to become an assistant coach in Toronto. And I think now he's a finalist for the Washington job. I think Anaheim is going to interview him, and I think there are others as well. And that's a name, if you're looking for an up-and-comer or developing guy, that's a name that's going to get a lot of attention. Jeff Halpern in Tampa Bay, who I think is also interviewing in Washington, would be another one.
Elliot, appreciate you as always. We'll chat next week.
Hopefully, Carolyn, this will all be over by then, one way or the other.
Then I'll have to find some other way to bring the heat.
I'll workshop it. Like, it's like stepping in against prime Nolan Ryan. I know what's coming.
Thank you, Elliot. We appreciate you.
Take care. You too, Carolyn.
Elliot Friedman, he is the very best. You can check out his work on Sportsnet and the 32 Thoughts podcast. We'll get into some of your thoughts coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.